All right, let's pray. Lord, help us today as we look at this, kind of wrap up this series in the next 3 weeks, and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've given a lot of Bible verses out. In light of the time, we'll never read all of those today, but have them ready, loud and clear, and quickly. Respond when I give the verses to keep it going, okay? Last week, Pastor Bob spoke about technology and what we might want to do with some of this technology, this Facebook and all this stuff. And it brought back a memory for me. The church, I said, had a huge split. It was one of the deepest, darkest moments of my life. Pam and I, many years ago, started in our home. Well, that started with a Bible study on Ardmore Park in St. Clair Shores. It started with a drug dealer who had been in prison and got out of prison, Ed Garbarino, okay? And during that, I don't know, 14-month period, first 14 months of the Bible studies we had every Tuesday night in his basement, we had prostitutes, we had them all coming. And we saw at least 14 to 16 people brought to faith in Jesus Christ. It was unbelievable. Amen. And a lot had to do with Eddie Garbarino. God had dramatically changed his life. What a ministry. And we started Lakeside Bible Chapel as a result of this. So it's quite a thing. But one of the things that brought back a memory, what are we going to do with this technology? I'll tell you what we did back in those days. We had a big bonfire one night, I'd say 6 months into our Bible study. And all these people brought their Playboy magazines, and I forget all the stuff they had, their horrible records, you know, the cassettes and all that. And they threw them all in the fire. And we burned them. They don't want to ever see them again. And I've always thought, what a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Okay? Amen. So I don't know what we're going to do with Facebook and all this stuff, because we can't live without it, right? But I thought that might not be a bad idea in light of where we're headed. It was really something. One other little thing before we get started. I'm in the banking business, was in the banking business. This week, our president has suggested that the new head overseeing our banking industry, the comptroller of the currency, be a lady who graduated from Moscow University, had a Lenin scholarship. She's in her 50s now. And she wants to change our entire banking system to be like Russia. She is absolutely determined that this is what we need to have our economy do much better. And he's presented her as the person to be in charge of our banking industry. Can you believe this? I just was shocked. I just was shocked. Now, we end this series with this outline that I give you. And if you could, bring it for the next couple weeks, please. And I need you to have it available, okay? And this was, we're going to wrap it up with this. Trusting the Lord, praying, and then what's the game plan? Because there's a lot of darkness out there, and there's a lot of darkness that can come into our life, and how are we going to handle these things, okay? So any comments before we start? Okay. So suffering, the first item on here. Why? Okay? There's four things I'd like to mention. The first thing is sin. When you live the wrong life, there's consequences to them for sin, okay? And suffering can come. Sure can. No doubt about it. And then the second item is God's glory. The Lord wants the glory. He gets all the credit, okay? Here's a man that was born blind, and look what happened in John. You don't have to turn to it, but whoever has it, read it. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. Fantastic scripture.
As he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be complete."
He was born blind so that the Lord that moment could do a miraculous thing in his life. Huh? Isn't that amazing? For the glory of God. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it is. Some think it might be sight. But the Lord didn't take it away from him. He lived with it, and he turned the world upside down in his generation. Whatever it was, it didn't hold him back at all. What a mighty man of God he was. The third thing is obedience. We're called to suffer. We've been showing that, you know. We've been called to suffer at times. It's not to be unusual in our life. We're not to look at it with despair. It may not be much fun, but we're to look at it as an opportunity to obey. It's not unusual. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 8.
Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God.
Okay. We're to be involved in this suffering. Okay. Anybody relate to it? Huh? It's going to come. I'll tell you what. When suffering comes into your life, I found, honestly, that's when I'm closest to the Lord. I don't know if that's theologically correct or not, but it's true. I am in more consistent, constant prayer about something when I'm going through suffering. You know? When I got one of my little grandchildren in the hospital type attitude. You know what I mean? It's by the minute. It drives me to it. It's the way I want to live. Okay? So it's not unusual. The second thing is, we are to follow Jesus. He suffered perfectly, sinlessly, obeying the Father in all things. So we're called upon during these rough times. You know? Where's Joanne Southern? Is she here today? Yeah, she doesn't know I'm going to pick on her. Let me tell you, these people are going through some dark times. They're going through some dark times, but when I call to pray with her, I don't hear darkness really much. I don't hear it. I hear a lady who is steadfast. She's called of God to go through this suffering, and she's steadfast, all out for Jesus Christ. It's unbelievable. What a lesson her and Dave have taught me. Any other thoughts on that one? By the way, Ray Dishman, who suffered for a whole year, passed away in the funerals tomorrow. My good friend Ray Dishman, one of the pillars, Russ, wouldn't you say, one of the pillars of this assembly in a bygone day. Did I tell you this story? Oh, you don't know what story I'm going to tell you. I go out to lunch after church with five or six of us out to lunch somewhere. Did I tell this story? Okay. I can't remember. I don't write them all down, but I don't make any of them up. But anyway, and we had a dinner. I don't know. It was like $70. And all of a sudden, the lady came over and said, "Your lunch is paid for by that couple over there." Guess who it was? It was Ray and Rose Dishman. I thought it was wonderful, wonderful. And Rose told me the other day, he did that all the time. That was something he just loved to do, that kind of thing, bringing a smile to people's faces. But he's with the Lord now, with the Lord. Okay? Fourth, growth. We spent many weeks on this. I'm not going to spend much time on it. Growth, a transformation takes place. Wonderful things start to take place when we learn to suffer and to suffer well and to give God all the glory. Great things happen and we grow. Any thoughts on that? That's kind of an introduction. Why? God has called us to this. Go ahead.
You mentioned that you weren't sure if our suffering and growing closer to the Lord is theologically right or not, but I believe Christ is the exact example of
that. Amen.
And just how he went to the Father at every single turn and meeting.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that I would I would venture to say every single person in this room has had that experience where they are just so distraught.
Yeah.
They have nowhere else to go.
That's right.
Father, and they're met with love and kindness and, you know, just his love.
Amen. But, yes, sir.
This brings to mind the thief on the cross that told
Yes.
You know, you didn't, you know, he told the other thief, you didn't. This man did nothing wrong. I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Because of your repentance, you will be with me.
Be with me.
That always sticks with
me. Wonderful illustration. Dan?
When things go good, we have a tendency to be self-reliant. And when we have things go bad and go south, we tend to be reliant.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is important.
Yeah.
And that daily fellowship in the Word and our reliance on His direction.
Amen. Deuteronomy 6:4 tells the children, remember, when you get in that promised land, things are going to be good. You're going to forget about me. You better be very careful. Get the verses above the wall, above the door, put them on the side post, carry them with you, because you're going to forget me. And many times that's what happens. All right, you ready? Let's go to the second part of trusting God's goodness. Okay? What does it mean to trust? First of all, the first item is to have confidence that God is in control. Sometimes I prayed with, I shouldn't even say this, but I will. I prayed with, by the way, I told a story about my daughter, and I said nobody was supposed to tell that story about cigarettes. And last night at dinner, she brought it up. So somebody stole the thing, man. I'll never tell another story again. I'm only kidding. She was not offended. Anyway, that was cute. What does it mean to trust, having confidence God is in control? I prayed with Christian Sam 2 days ago. And he was crying and crying and crying as a result. And here's how I prayed. Father. My wife was in the car. She thought I'd lost my mind maybe. Father. 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 Will you hear us? Please hear us. That's how I started my prayer. Kind of crazy. But that's how I felt as I listened to what's going on with Christian Sam. Sometimes that's the way I pray. But having confidence the Lord is in control, having faith in God's timing. Psalm 25, 2-3. 2-3. This is a good one.
Right.
Take a look at this. God's timing. Listen to this.
Oh my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies be found over. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are unholy treasures.
Is that Psalm 25?
Yeah.
Verses 2 and 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Boy. I know, I maybe wrote it down wrong. 20 and 3? Take a look at 20 and 3. Go ahead.
May you remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offerings acceptable.
Okay. Well, the issue is having faith in God's timing.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to see a dear brother here in a minute from Scripture. You talk about timing. Because we like to see things solved rather quickly. Right? And the Lord often doesn't do it that way.
That's right.
And to have the patience and the tenacity to hang on, okay, is what I'm trying to get across there. I mean, I guess I got the wrong verse there. Sorry, Russ, you won't ever want to read again now in our class. I'm sorry. He's got another one to read, so he'll get another chance. Okay, thirdly. knowing, remembering who the Lord is. Huh? Look at Isaiah 12:2.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Amen. We trust in him. I don't know how people, I watch all these people around me, my neighborhood, my life, and I'm thinking, what are they teaching their grandchildren? Yes.
Right.
What in the world are they teaching their grandchildren?
Yeah.
What hope are they giving their family?
Yeah.
They don't know Christ,
you know?
And I'm always thinking, oh, I just put my arms around my little... I took two of my grandchildren golfing yesterday, believe it or not. I had a 12-year-old sitting, she drove the cart. I had a little 9-year-old, her sister, and me in the middle, and we played 9 holes of golf, you know. And as we rode the cart, we sang songs about Jesus. And all the people on the golf course thought we were crazy. And I didn't really care. But we had a great day together.
That's right.
And last night they gave me a hug and said, thank you, Papa.
That's awesome.
Right? Oh, my goodness. I don't know how these people live. I don't know how these people live. Any comment on this?
Absolutely terrible.
Go ahead.
Not to be a party crasher, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Your point is that the lost, you know, what are they teaching their grandkids and so forth?
I know.
Contrasting that with Christians and what we teach our grandkids and so forth. I'm reading a book right now that talks about the very subject. And the only thing I just want to throw out...
No, go ahead.
Is just because we can doesn't mean we do. And so it's a little bit of a challenge to all of us,
yeah,
who are parents and grandparents, to actually do that,
yeah,
and not just have the availability to do it.
Yes, I agree.
We know the ramifications, which is what you're teaching, and so,
yep,
we don't need to just have it in our back pocket, we need to actually do it.
Yeah, live it.
My daughter came to me and she was complaining about this interaction that she's had with a friend from school. And, you know, I told her, I said, you know, do these people, do you know that, you know, do they go to church? Do their parents talk to them about Christ like I've talked to you about Christ? She's like, well, one of my friends is religious. But my point was, is that I brought it back to the beginning. God wanted parents to teach their children about who he is.
Yeah.
They should be reading Bible stories. They should be attending church, yeah, whether they know little or a lot. They should, yeah, start somewhere. And it's really something that I feel very big about encouraging people to do.
Yes. Amen.
As marriages are falling apart left and right.
I wanted this morning, because many of you say, are you married? We've never met your wife. I wanted Pam to come in here this morning at 9:30. By the way, can we blow the horn at 4 after? Will I get in trouble for 4 after? And I wanted my 2 daughters and their husbands and my 6 grandchildren. I wanted them to line up here this morning. I just wanted you to meet them. But none of them would come. So they wouldn't come. Papa, we're not coming in there. So it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I guess I'll have to bring a picture. But I did want you to meet. Pam was willing to come, but I said, man, I'm going to be jammed this morning.
Yeah, zoom it.
Yeah, we'll zoom it. All right. Because they're all in Sunday school right now.
Awesome.
Believing in God's eternality. Okay? He's everlasting to everlasting. And that's what we believe. Okay? Without hesitation. He's there forevermore. Who can understand that one? Huh? Any thoughts on that? I want to move on.
I got a mulligan on Mike's point that he just made there. I think at one time in life I heard this quote that sounded really holy and good. That was like, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. I think I heard it in like middle school or high school. I was like, perfect. I don't say anything or do anything. I just do like good stuff. And then I don't have to like preach at people. And then like as I... matured my faith, I was like, that was horrible advice.
Yeah.
Like, this is terrible advice. And I think of my own father, who he's never been able to express to me the gospel or its importance or whatever. And for a lifetime, I kind of asked my mom, is dad a Christian? Like, yeah, I see him falling asleep during church and not, like, is he here? She's like, oh, yeah, he said he believed, like 15 years ago. And as I became an adult and like a mature Christian, I was like, oh no, like I shouldn't have to ask or question, is he saved?
Yeah.
And that quote seems to have proved itself so wrong because, like you're saying, Mike, just because he had the availability to do it, if he never did it in 25, 30 years, oh no, this is a major oversight.
Yeah.
Whether it's in there or not, it's a shortcoming like that. So I think that's a really apt, good point to remember as we go through life. Like, don't live by that mantra wherever it came from, because we should be preaching it there. So.
Amen.
Barry,
go ahead.
One other thing, and this has been ingrained in society since I've been breathing, is they say two things don't talk about. One thing about religion, the other thing about politics. Well, I mean, so so you talk about, God, keep that stuff to yourself. Keep it in the closet. I mean, where's that scripturally?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Satan trying to do that.
All of these things say, believe with trust.
Yes.
This is an action that you believe it with faith.
Confidence.
Never says understanding.
Yeah.
We never have the understanding or ever know what God knows. And we're never going to understand it. We just have to believe it with faith.
Amen. Trust Him. All right, let's move on for a minute. I want to give you a biblical example. One of my favorite guys in the Old Testament is Joseph. Give me just quickly three things you know about Joseph. Who is he?
He ran.
What else?
Code of colors.
Huh?
We're going to kill him.
Code of colors.
Yeah. Code of colors?
Yeah.
Everybody know this guy?
Yeah.
Huh? How many brothers do he have? A lot of them. Whole pile of them. Okay? God used him in a mighty way. Boy, did he ever use him. But take a look at this. He wasn't perfect, you know? He had some relational issues with his brothers, okay? I mean, they weren't exactly fair with him, but sometimes he wasn't fair with them either. He had a little bit of arrogancy as you look at him. He kind of had an unrealistic view of himself, you know, kind of a special son. But I'll tell you what, sometimes he was insensitive to others' feelings, but I'll tell you what, he was spiritually grounded. Boy, was he ever spiritually grounded. As a slave, as a servant, he led a life of integrity. Okay? He was a blameless brother. Look at Genesis 39, 2 through 3.
The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. He was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all the
Isn't that wonderful? This man had a tremendous reputation among the unsaved, the ungodly people. And he rose up to be a powerful man in that system. Isn't that wonderful? I remember a friend of mine was telling me that he lived for Christ in the marketplace. He told people about Christ. His opportunity came, blah, blah. You know, a nice, fine Christian man. A friend of mine. And he said, I was ushering at church one night, and he said a lady walked in from my work, who I really had never talked to. She kind of worked, you know, way down the hallway. And she walked up to him and said, Joe, I always knew you were a Christian. I always knew you were a Christian by the way you led your life. Isn't that a wonderful thing in the workplace, to be known for that? Okay? To have that reputation?
Amen.
To be in a sensitive, godly person? What a wonderful thing. Now, look at this. When tempted, he kept God in view. I won't go into this one, but I'll tell you what. When it presented itself sexually, he didn't waste a minute. He knew exactly what to do. Okay? Thirdly, when forgotten, he's in prison for a long time. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Look at Genesis 39, 21 and 23. Just not 22, 21, 23.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed.
Isn't that wonderful? This guy was outstanding. You know? Even in prison, he had a great reputation. Okay? Didn't lay around and complain and moan and groan. He praised God. So, now, third point. He knows God is in control, even in his home, so-called, in Egypt. Okay? God was foremost in his mind. Okay? He's involved in interpreting dreams. He spent 2 years faithfully waiting on the Lord. 2 years. I want to finish with these verses. These are powerful verses. I think there's application for us, folks. Listen to this. This mighty man of God. Genesis 41, and you got it 15, 16, 25, and then 39 and 41. Can anybody, who's got that? Let's go, and we'll finish. Anybody got these?
Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Amen.
Did I write these up?
Said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh he is about to do. I don't have the 39 to 41. Yeah, I don't have the 39 to 41 on my card. I'm sorry.
Okay. Why don't you read it? Chapter 41. Yeah. 39 to 40.
Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command.
Yeah. Okay. The gist of it is, this man followed the Lord. The Lord prospered his way. He went through tremendous suffering in dark times, but it never held him back. Even during the darkness, he saw the light. What a great example.
Amen.
If you want a real words of encouragement, it's only as long as two columns on the front of the newspaper today, of the sports section, I'll say, okay, that you're going to read today. Okay? It's only that long. You can read this great story about this man and what a lesson can be learned for all of us. Last comment. Anybody? All right. Please bring this back next week, if you remember. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that are going on in our lives, Lord. We're living in a sinful world. Lots of things are happening, bad things. Sometimes we wonder why, you know. But the wonderful thing is that Ray Dishman is with you, Lord Jesus, today. As sad as it is for his family, tomorrow we'll have a great time of remembrance. And he's with you. He's rejoicing. He's singing. All his sorrow is gone. And the difference between that and the life on earth is just a millisecond in comparison. But we don't think that way. Help us to think that way. And help us to rejoice in all that comes our way, that we know that you are in control of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, have a great week, folks.